Vance Hayner tells a story about this elderly lady, and she is always complaining, just everything. She is just so concerned about life, and she has real issues that she's upset about, and she has imaginary issues that she's concerned about. And her family, every time they come to visit her, they're always trying to calm grandma down, trying to make sure that they can settle her spirit. But she's always irritated by all the imaginary and real things that are taking place. And so every time the family comes in, they're always trying to calm her down. They're always giving her words of encouragement. And so finally one day, her son is in visiting her, and he is so frustrated with his mom. He's just super frustrated because she is so irritated by everything. And so he finally looks at her and he says, "Mom, it's time that we leave things alone and just put it in the hands of God." And his mother gets this look of horror on her face, and she says, "Oh dear, has it come to that?" And he looks at her and he says, "It always comes to that, Mom, and it should always begin with that too. It should always begin with leaving things in the hands of God." Friends, too often in our lives, we only get to God, we only turn to God and leave things in His hands when crisis comes. We wait the journey till we hit that roadblock, till we hit that pitfall, and then we say, "Okay, God, I'm going to leave this in Your hands. I'm coming to You and I'm going to pray because I'm in crisis. I need You to step in." But what God expects is that we would begin every step of our journey with prayer. We would begin every step, we would start at the place saying, "God, I trust You." In fact, this morning in our pre-service prayer, I said that prayer should begin every journey, it should be in the middle of every journey, and it should be at the end of every journey. As people of God, we should constantly be going to God for the things that He places in our lives, whether good or bad. And when it comes to the dreams that we have, when it comes to the things that God places in us as individuals or families or as a corporate body, we need to begin every dream by going to God with prayer. Nehemiah understood this. And I want to walk us through this prayer of Nehemiah. I'm going to talk about a few things in a few moments. But I want you to look at Nehemiah's life and see some principles of prayer that he teaches us. So let's look at the scripture, Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. And it says this on the screen. "Then I said, 'Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keeps His commandments, let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes open to hear the prayer Your servant is praying before You day and night for Your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against You. We've acted very wickedly towards You. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws You gave Your servant Moses. Remember the instruction You gave Your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to Me and obey My commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for My name. They are Your servants and Your people, whom You redeemed by Your great strength and Your mighty hand.'" And the last part says, "Lord, let Your ear be attentive to the prayer of this Your servant and to the prayer of Your servants who delight in revering Your name. Give Your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. The moment that Nehemiah's brother comes back from Jerusalem is the month of Kislev. It's the time between November and December in our calendar. The moment that he goes to the king with his dream to rebuild the walls is the month of Nisan, and that's the months between March and April. Friends, the reason why this is so important is that the moment that Nehemiah becomes burdened with God's dream to rebuild the walls, and the moment he launches into his strategy is 4 months. And in those 4 months, he's not just sitting around, just doing whatever, just serving the king. He goes to prayer for 4 months. He goes before God for 4 months. Day after day after day, he seeks the face of God. And I want to tell you that if we're going to see God do great things in this church, if we're going to build walls, if we're going to accomplish dreams, we've got to be a people of prayer. It's not just a little prayer, oh Lord, I pray that you bless my food now, and would you bless CPC? Lord, now I lay my head to sleep. I pray the walls will be rebuilt so they can keep. You know, I don't know. I mean people who go after God. God, you've put a dream in our hearts. You've put a dream in my heart. God, we're coming after you. We want to see things happen. The walls have got to be built. They've got to be restored. And when God places a dream in the hearts of a people, when God places a dream in the hearts of an individual, they go to God and they keep praying and they keep praying and they keep praying and they keep praying. Prayer must always precede the strategy. It must always precede the strategy. And so we see for 4 months Nehemiah is praying. But not just praying, we actually get insight into what he prays. And I think that the things that he prays are the things that we should be praying for the dreams that God's got for this church. The things that he prays are the things that you should be praying for the dreams that God's placed in your heart, for your life and for your family, and for the things that the blueprints he's downloaded into your heart. The things that we're going to see are the things that we should be praying. The first thing that we should be praying is that we should be praying a recognition of God's character. There should be a recognition of God's character in our prayer. He starts off and he says, oh God of heaven. And then he says, you're great and awesome. And then he says, you keep your covenants. And lastly, he says, let your ear hear your servant. And I know those just seem like regular things to pray, but he's actually praying the character of God. He prays with recognition of who God is. Let me walk you through it. If you just throw that next slide up. He prays and he says that he's the God of heaven. And so there is an authority that, not that one, that the one that says authority on it. There's an authority that Nehemiah is recognizing. When he says you're the God of heaven, he's saying, hey, God, you are the one who has all authority. You are in charge. You're the one who's reigning up over the heavens. And then he says that he's powerful. You're great and awesome. He's praying about God's powerful ability in his situation. Next slide. We not only see the authority of God and the powerfulness of God, but we also see the faithfulness of God. He says, God, you're the one who keeps your covenant. We see that in you. God, you're the one who keeps your covenant. And then lastly, he says, let your ear be inclined to me. He says, God, you're not a distant God, but you're a God who's involved. You're a God who's imminent, not just transcendent, but a God who's imminent. Let me walk you through this. The authoritative of God. Nehemiah recognizes that God oversees heaven. And if God oversees the heavens, then friends, I want you to know that you need to pray with his authority over your small situations. I want you to know that if God's able to keep the stars in constellation, if he's able to keep them in order, if he's able to keep the planets from coming into each other and the sun from burning up the earth and the whole solar system together, if he's the God with that kind of authority, then he's that kind of God for your smaller situations. And Nehemiah starts to pray. He's like, God, I pray with recognition of who you are. You're the God of authority. We see this. We see this in Jesus' day. One day, a centurion comes to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, listen, I've got this servant who's paralyzed. And I just value this servant. Could you please bring healing to my servant? And Jesus has a tender heart towards the centurion. And he says, do you want me to come with you? And the centurion says, no, hold on for a second, Jesus. I understand authority. I know that if I say to somebody, hey, I need you to go down to Place d'Orleans, they're going to go to Place d'Orleans because I've got authority. I know that if I say, hey, I need you to come with a Starbucks, they're going to come with a Starbucks. This is my authority. I just need to say go and they go. I need to say come and they come. And Jesus, you've got such great authority that all you need to do is speak the word. All you need to do is speak the word. And Jesus is astounded by his faith. And he mentions about how incredible his faith is. And Jesus speaks the word. Centurion goes. And guess what? He gets home. And his servant's healed. You see, this is what Nehemiah is praying. God of heaven. The God who has authority. Who, friends, all he needs to do is speak the word over your situation. All he needs to do is speak the word over your dream. All he needs to do is say one word. And it comes about.
That's the way we've got to pray. Not a God who's got his arm twisted behind his back and is just kind of weak, but a God who's got all kinds of authority that we just need to ask him, and he will say the word and speak something into being. The authoritative God. Oh, I thought you'd be a little bit more excited than that, but that's fine. Here we go. Let's just keep going. Not only is he the authoritative God, but he is the powerful God. This word, he's great and awesome. The word awesome means to be feared. And what Nehemiah is saying is that God is so powerful that he can drive back any enemy that comes against your dreams. Because I'm going to tell you something, friends. Anytime you start to go after the things that God's got for you, anytime a church starts to go after the things that God's got for them, the enemy is going to take notice. I want to just tell you, I want to prepare you. The enemy does not want us seeing people get saved in this city. The enemy would love this church to stay exactly the size it is, because then the rest of the city can go to hell. That's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want students saved at the University of Ottawa. He doesn't want our church expanding so that we can see more young families come. He doesn't want the resources given for the Compassion Center, because he wants people stuck in poverty and bondage and all the things that he loves. And he will start to attack. And Nehemiah knows that. And he begins to pray with a recognition of who God is. You are great and you are awesome. And I pray that right now over my dream, because I know that when the enemy comes, you have power to drive back the enemy. You have that power to drive back the enemy. Friends, you've got to pray through the lens of God's character, that he is able, fully powerful. And then he goes on, he doesn't just pray about his power, he prays about his faithfulness. He says, oh, you're the God who keeps his covenants. You're the God who, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. I love the story of Abraham. I may do a series next year on Abraham. Abraham, he's 75 years old, and God pulls him aside and says, hey, Abraham, I want to tell you something. Your wife's going to get pregnant. Anybody here 75 years old? Never mind. But just imagine that happening. You probably would need to be taken to the hospital after that little encounter with God. Hey, Abraham, your wife's going to have a baby. And you're not going to have a son. You're going to have a son who's going to be the father of many nations. The stars of heaven will be an example of how many kids you'll have. The sand and on the shores of the sea will be an example of how many kids you will have through this boy. And then, for the next 24 years, Abraham has to wait year after year. He's getting older. Every time he gets to the mirror, he's just like, I see more wrinkles every day, but there's no boy. I have less energy every day, but there's no boy. What's the deal, God? You promised me 24 years. And then one day, his wife gets pregnant. His wife gets pregnant. Listen, if you're in your old age, you probably aren't going to get pregnant. But all things are possible with God. So Sarah gets pregnant. And then a year later, 9 months later, she gives birth to the boy. And here he is, 25 years he's been waiting for this dream. 25 years he's been waiting for God to be faithful. 25 years he's wondered when God would fulfill the dream. But God's always faithful, and God gives him the boy. Historians believe that it was about 20 years later, 18 to 20 years later, that God comes to Abraham again and says, hey, Abraham, you know that boy I gave you, I promised you about 45 years ago? Your son, your only son, the son whom you love? I want you to kill him. What? I want you to kill him. I want you to sacrifice him back to me. And immediately Abraham goes, okay, God. And he takes his son, and I can only imagine what's going on in his heart, and they begin to go to Mount Moriah. And as they're heading up the hill, Abraham's son, Isaac, says, hey, Dad, I just got a question. Where's the sacrifice? Like where's the lamb? Where's the goat? Where's the donkey? Where is? And I can imagine that Abraham's eyes are just starting to get a little bit wet. He says, don't worry, son, God's going to provide. And I think this is what happened. I think that as he said that, and as he's going up the hill, he is fully prepared to sacrifice Isaac. He's fully prepared to obey God and take his son's life, because he believes that God will bring his son back from death. Because God didn't just promise him a son. God promised him a nation. And the day he got born, the day he came into this world 20 years prior to this Moriah moment, that was the fulfillment of the promise of a son. But the promise of the nation hadn't come yet. And so even though God said, go to Moriah to kill the boy, he's able to do it because he believes in the faithfulness of God who will fulfill his promises. And even if the boy's dead, even if he, for some reason, that boy has to die, he believes that God will step in and be true to his word, and the nation will still come from this boy. Because he's faithful, friends. Because his word is always true. He never lies. And when you're praying for the dreams that God has for you, and we pray for the things that God has for this church, we pray through the lens of God's character, recognizing who he is. And we know that if he's promised something to us, even if everything seems dead, he'll bring it back to life. Even if we have to wait for years before it comes about, if he's promised it, it will come about. So when you pray, don't pray, oh God, I hope that this will happen. No, you pray with faith. You pray believing that our God is true to his word. We pray with the faithfulness of God. Lastly, he prays not only about the faithfulness of God, but he prays about the God who's involved. He says, lend your ear to your servant. God, I don't think that you're just distant, but I believe that you're here right now. I actually think you care about this dream. God, I actually think you care about the walls being rebuilt. I don't think this is just in my heart. I think you put the dream in my heart. And so if I'm going to go after the dream, I'm asking that you would be involved. God, I'm asking that you would be involved. Let me tell you something. There are so many times since I've been in this church where I've hit a wall. And this is what I've done. I start to pray. I said, God, you called me here. I am fully confident you called me here. You didn't just call me here. You put some dreams in my heart. And these dreams need to be fulfilled because you put them here. So I'm calling on the God who I know wants to be involved. I'm asking you to give me wisdom. I'm asking you to give me resources. I'm asking that you would help me navigate this situation. Whatever it takes, we're not stopping because you promised me things. So God, would you help me out? And I grab hold of his hand and I said, let's go together. Friends, I want you to know whatever dream you have, whatever dream this congregation has, we pray through the lens of God's character, and he's a God who is imminent. He's with us. He's walking with us. We're not being sent out by ourselves, but he's grabbing our hands saying, let's do this together. I mean, I don't know if that doesn't excite you, but it excites me because when I think about building an expansion for this church, when I think about the Compassion Center, when I think about planting for the University of Ottawa, it overwhelms me. But I take the hand of God who's involved in the dreams, and I say, let's go together, God. Let's go together. You're the God who's involved. You see, we've got to pray with a recognition of God's character, that who he is, he's the lens by which I see the future. He's the lens by which I view the dream. And so Nehemiah prays with a recognition of God's character. Number two, Nehemiah prays to remove the barriers. He says, Lord, I confess my sins. I confess my father's sins and the sins of this nation. You see, Nehemiah recognizes that the reason why the walls are broken is because they've ignored God's plans. They've ignored God's plans. And because they've ignored God's plans and his instruction, he's removed his blessing from them. I want you to look at the screen to James chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Let's look at that first part again. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect thing that's ever come your way is from God. I want you to know every blessing, every prosperous element, every good health, every breakthrough with a job, every blessing that's come your way comes from God. And Nehemiah knows that the reason why they're not living in the place of receiving every good gift, the reason why the walls are broken down is because they have set a barrier up between them and God. Pastor Nick, would you come up here? I need Pastor Nick to play God again. He's getting quite good at this. Skinniest God I've ever seen. All right. Now listen, if I know you need to use your imagination, but if Nick is God, and he starts to tell me that I should go over here because that's where the blessing is. Then I go with him
just, yeah, yeah, but I go with you. And I say, okay, I'll stay. This is the time to shut the cameras off. Okay. Then he tells me that I need to go over here if I want to experience blessing. And so we go over here together, and I follow him because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from him. And then he says, hey, I need you just to step back 3 steps because the blessings are there. So we step back because every good and perfect gift is from him. Whenever I stay in alignment with God, everything's good. The blessings are there. But now I let go because I don't like holding his hand. And I say, you know what? You know what, God, that's great that you want me to go over to the left. But I feel that I've got this one covered. I'm gonna go to the right. And Nick starts saying, well, God starts saying, so hard. God starts saying, no, go to the left. Go ahead.
Jeffrey, go to the left.
That's the right.
Left.
This is why he doesn't play God very often. He tells me to go to the left, and I'm like, no, but I want to go to the right. I think this is the better way. And what do you say?
Go to the left.
And I start getting bothered because God's telling me to go to the left. I think I know better. So what I do is I don't want God to be interfering with my plans. So I start to set up a barrier, a stanchion here. And he keeps telling me to go to the left, but I've got this barrier. God, I've got this on my own. And I start going away. I've put a barrier between me and God. What happens is I find myself in this place where I've removed myself from every good and perfect gift. Do you see? I've put a barrier up. He's willing to give me every good and perfect gift. He's willing for me to have the things I need to rebuild the walls, to live in a place of safety. Jerusalem could have been a place of safety if they had stayed with God. But at some point in Israel's history, they said, no, we think we know better. We're going to put up a little barrier here, God. Just leave us alone. We've got this covered. And as they begin to go their own path, Babylon comes in, Persia comes in, and the walls get destroyed. The temple gets destroyed. And Nehemiah is at this place where he knows that the reason why the walls are broken, the reason why James chapter 1 verse 17 can't be fulfilled, even though it hasn't been written yet, but the reason why that principle can't be received amongst the Israelites is because there's a barrier between them and God. And you know what he does? God, I pray you'd forgive me for my sins. God, I pray that you'd forgive me for my father's sins. I'm removing the barrier. I'm getting back to you. I need your plans. I need to hold your hand again. I need you to direct me again. I pray you'd forgive me for going my own way. I pray you'd forgive my fathers for going their own way. Oh, boy. Nick. Just when I start getting the fire, he has to put the water on it. I remove the barriers so I can get back to the place where every good and perfect gift is there for me. Thank you, Nick. Thank you so much. I'm convinced of this. If God has a dream and a vision for your life, he's going to give you every good and perfect gift for that dream, provided that you stay close to him, provided that you don't put the barrier up. Provide that you don't say, hey, I think I've got this covered. And if you start going down a certain direction with your life and you start to see the walls coming apart, you start to see destruction coming, you stop yourself and go, wait a minute, am I in a place where I have ignored what God has told me, and perhaps I've set up a barrier and I need to remove that barrier and get back to him so that every good and perfect gift can come back to me. He removes the barrier. I think that there's times we need to pray before God with repentance in our heart. God, there's some things that I've allowed inside my life that I thought was better than your plan. There's some things that I thought, some things I said, some things I did that have actually robbed me of living under your full blessing because I put the barrier up. You didn't go anywhere. I put the barrier up. I told you to stay back so I could do my thing. And all you wanted to do was hold my hand and lead me into the things that you had for me. I'm sorry, God. Please remove the barrier. And so he prays a prayer of removing the barrier. The third thing that he does is he prays a prayer of taking responsibility. I just had to find myself in my notes. Of taking responsibility. He says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to your servants. Give your servant. Nehemiah is taking responsibility for the dream. Let me just tell you this, okay? This is maybe the most important thing I'll say this morning. Last week I said that our hearts need to break for the things that break God's heart. So please, everybody, if you're checking your emails or whatever you're doing, just please listen to me for this moment. If your heart truly breaks for the things that break God's heart, you will say, God, let me be in. Let me be involved. You see, if you love God so much and you see his heart broken for something, you can't just passively stand back. You can't. You don't love somebody with all your heart, see their heart broken, and just go, okay, God, I hope everything works out. No, when your heart breaks for the things that break God's heart, you will always say, God, let your servant, I'm in. I take responsibility for this dream. Throw me into the game, coach. Do whatever it takes, but I need to step in because this thing matters to you. It's impossible to be in the body of Christ. Please listen. It's impossible to be in the body of Christ and say that your heart breaks for the things that break God's heart and never do anything for his kingdom. Never do anything for his kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has this great vision of God, and there's this one moment where the Godhead is speaking amongst themselves, and the Trinity is in this communicative moment, and they say, who should we send? We have this urgent message that we want to get out. We have this message it's our vision, it's our dream to get this word out. Who should we send? And Isaiah, in the presence of God, he has a heart for God. He says, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. If this matters to you, God, then send me. I'm praying responsibility over this dream. I'm praying responsibility towards the things that matter for you, God. If this matters to you, God, then send me. We need to be praying that. You see, some of us think, well, we'll just pray. I love my wife dearly. And there are times where when I'm at work in the afternoon, she will go get groceries. And so let's just imagine, let's create a scenario. That I've come home, I got home at 5 o'clock, and she's still out getting groceries. And I text her, I said, hey, where are you? I'm just getting groceries. All right. And then about 30 minutes later, she texts me and she says, hey, I'll be home in 2 minutes with the groceries. And I'm like, okay. And so as soon as I get off my phone, I drop to my knees. Lord, I love my wife. I love her so dearly. She's been out for the last hour and she's been buying groceries. And Lord, she's got a whole car full of groceries. And I'm praying you'll send somebody to help her bring the groceries in. I pray, Lord, speak to Bailey. I pray, grab his heart. Lord, he's upstairs playing video games. Power surge through the PS4 right now. Just move his heart, please, so he can come. My wife shouldn't be carrying groceries in all by herself. No, God, please. Lord, speak to Briar. She's upstairs playing with her dog. Let the dog go to sleep, Lord. Would you just play spirit of sleep over the dog? I just want Briar to come and help. I know Brock's at school, but maybe he would surprise us and come home and he would help. He would help the neighbors. Our neighbors are nice people. Please, just please, Lord. And I keep praying and the door opens and I can hear the huffing and puffing and grocery bags are dropping. I keep praying, Lord, please. I'm not saying really loud because I don't want to annoy her. But Lord, please, please just help her. Help her, Lord. Like, she gives so much to this family. She's worked all morning and now she's grocery shopping. And I can hear her coming in and she's just putting the bags in the kitchen. And I can start. She's now doing it with energy. She's like opening doors and closing them hard. And I'm praying, and she's putting things in the fridge, and this, I mean, it's super loud, and I just keep praying, and then finally I finish praying, and I realize the Lord hasn't answered my prayer, that nobody has helped her, and she's had to do it all by herself, and she starts to make dinner. I feel really bad that the Lord hasn't sent anybody. And so I come up behind her, put my hands around her side, and she pushes off. I'm like, what's that? And I try again. I try to come up, and I'm like, just kind of, like, just push your hair back so I can just kind of, like, kiss her on the side of the neck. And she pushes me back, and I'm like, what? Don't you love me? And then she says this, I just put all the groceries away. Don't you love me? You see, In order for God's dreams to happen, it's not just about people kneeling and praying. It's people saying, hey, let me have a load of groceries. It's about people saying, if this matters to you, God, I love you so much. I want to show you my love, not just by praying. I want to be involved. I want responsibility. Lend your ear to your servant. Because God, this matters to you, so it matters to me. Throw me in the game, coach. And I'm going to tell you this, if we're going to fulfill the dreams that God's got for this church, there can't be any spectators in the pew. We need everybody involved to go after the things that God's got. It may be a minor thing. It may be one day a week. It may be a lot of energy. I don't know. But everybody must say, God, I'm concerned about the things that concern you, so send me in. Take responsibility. And we need to pray a prayer of responsibility. Last thing is we need to pray that God would send the resources. We need to request resources. Every dream will need provision. Walls can't be built without the provisions. It's going to need a leader. It's going to need some new bricks. It's going to need some volunteers. It's going to require favor with a king. It's going to need all kinds of money and time and energy. Every dream requires resources. Nehemiah prays for success and for favor. Success is prosperity with the king. Favor is this word that means compassion. What he's actually saying is, God, I need you to give compassion to the king for me, the same type of compassion that a mother has for the baby in her womb. That's the word that's used there. The same compassion that a mother has for that child that's inside of her. I need that to be what's in the heart of the king towards me. I need that, God. You see, Nehemiah knows there's certain things that he's responsible for. But there's only a point where he can go where he can't do it in his own strength anymore. And there's going to be things that God, only God can step in and provide. And friends, you need to know what's your responsibility and what's God's responsibility. And there's a certain amount that you will be able to give, and then there's going to come a point where you're going to need to say, God, I need you to provide. I need you to step in and provide the resources. Hudson Taylor was on his way to China, call of God on his life to minister the gospel to the Chinese. And they're on the ship, and the boat is making its way towards a coral reef. You see, what's happened is that the wind has completely dissipated. And now the boat is just flowing in the current. And this boat is starting to flow towards this coral reef, which is just off the shore of this island. The captain knows that if the boat goes into the coral reef, that the boat will be destroyed and they will have to swim to shore. The problem is that the island that they will have to swim to shore for is an island of cannibals. They're actually so close to shore that they can see that the cannibals are envisioning the whole thing taking place, and they've actually started fires on the shore so that they can have a meal. And so they're trying everything. The captain's trying everything he can, and finally he says to Hudson and his team, and he said, there's nothing else we can do. We've done everything there is. And Hudson all of a sudden thinks, and he says, no, Captain, there's still something that we can do. There are 4 Christians on this boat. We're going to go pray. We need God right now. We've done all we can. It's time for us to pray. And Hudson goes down, and he begins to pray, and a few minutes later, he comes up, and he says, Captain, I need you to set the sails. The captain says, why would we do that? Why would we set the sails? There's no wind. He says, because I've prayed to God and asked him to bring the wind, and I believe God's about to answer my prayer. A few moments later, the wind starts to pick up. The sails start to become full, and that boat starts to navigate towards the opposite direction of the island of the cannibals. And so those cannibals became anorexic. No, never mind. God steps in and provides the resource that they needed. Supernaturally. Friends, I'm going to tell you, in order for us to expand this building, we're going to need millions. That's the truth. It's not like, you know, we need $15,000 and we're going to have a brand new facility. We're going to need millions. It's going to require some miracles. It's going to require sacrifices. That we're going to need to sacrifice. We'll have to do our part. But then we're going to get to a place where it's going to be beyond our sacrifices, and it's going to require miracles. But I'm convinced that if we request from the one who puts the dream in our heart, that he will step in and cause the wind to blow. When Travis starts to reach out to the university students, he's going to need favor with those students. I mean, I told you last Sunday, it's a secular university. We're going to need facility. We're going to need people. We're going to need a whole bunch of elements. God's going to provide.
We're going to need volunteers for the Compassion Center. And a bunch of things, there's some storage elements that we're trying to walk through.
God's going to provide, because we're going to start to request the resources that are needed for the dreams He's placed in our heart. We've got to pray. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Nehemiah is like, God, I know what I need. And the only thing I can do, the stuff I need, is beyond what I have. I'm asking. I'm requesting the resources. There are some miracles that are going to be needed. We're going to talk about this next week. When I go to the king, I'm going to need a miracle to take place in his heart. Because when I step into his throne room, I'm going to have to take a risk, a severe risk. I need you to provide. We need to pray, asking God to provide the resources. Dr. Guthrie was a Scottish preacher. And one Sunday morning, he was praying for the congregation, and they were in a great drought in the land. And so he stood at the pulpit and he prayed as he looked over the faces of the people in the congregation, the farmers who desperately needed rain. And he prayed that God would send a rain, even though the weather forecast didn't have that in the plan. Prayed for rain. That afternoon, he was home and just doing some things around the house. Now it was time for him to leave for the evening service. His little daughter came up to him before he left, and she grabbed an umbrella and she ran up and she said, Papa, Papa, you need this. Dr. Guthrie looked at her and saw the umbrella, and he knew that it was as sunny as anything out, and they had been in drought and hadn't experienced rain forever. And he said, Sweetheart, why do I need that? She said, Papa, you prayed this morning for rain. Don't you expect it's going to come? And so he smiled and thanked her and took the umbrella. And on his way to church, he was thankful. He listened to the faith of his daughter, because the clouds started to form. And all of a sudden, a torrential downpour took place. And he stayed dry because he carried the umbrella. Friends, I want to tell you that if we're going to see the dreams of God take place, we need to pray with expectation that God's going to step in and do some incredible things. We need to pray through the recognition of who He is. We need to pray in a way that removes all the barriers. We need to say, God, I need you to use me. And when we need the resources, we need to request them before God, believing that He's in this. He's in this. This isn't just people coming up with good ideas. That God's in the dreams for this church and for your lives. And we can carry the umbrella on the sunniest day, believing that God will answer our prayers. Would you stand? I so believe in where we're going. I so believe that God's got plans for this church. And not just corporately, I believe God's got plans for your lives. There are some of you, God's been speaking to you. God's been putting some stuff in your heart, and it seems overwhelming. I'm telling you, you're about to see the dreams fulfilled. You're about to see the walls built. But please, don't just be strategic. Don't just ask for advice. Don't just lay out your plans. Would you begin with prayer? Would you start to pray, saying, God, I'm going into this dream recognizing who you are, that you're the God of authority, that you're the God of power, that you are the faithful God, that you're the God who's involved. God, I recognize your character. Would you pray in a way that says, God, if there's anything that's a barrier, if there's anything that I've done, I thought I could do it myself, I'm asking that you would remove it, I confess. Would you, as you're sitting in this, standing in this church, would you start to pray, God, use me. I take responsibility for the dreams that are ahead. I take responsibility. And I pray that you would pray for the resources that we need, believing that if we ask, He will give. He'll give whatever we need. I've asked Pastor Steve to lead us in a song before we close today. And I think it's Start a Fire. And I'm asking that you would just say to God, God, here I am. I want to be part of your dreams. I want to partner up with whatever you're doing, whatever you've got. I want to grab hold of those things. Use me. So would you just raise your hands as we sing this song?
For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every high to see. For the sake of the world, Sing that again, for the sake of the world. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. For the sake of the world, for the sake of the world, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
Hallelujah. As you're just reflecting on those words, just begin to pray. Begin to pray that God would light a fire in you for the dreams He has. I always do this every Sunday, and before we pray directly about this message, I want to ask this question. You're in this place, and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with Him, but the more I hear and the presence I feel in this place, I just know I need Him. I'm here to tell you some bad news first and then some good news. The bad news is there's nothing you can do in your own ability to get to Jesus. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the bad news is that you deserve death and you can't do anything to get to God. But the good news is that Jesus did it for you. He died on a cross. And he's calling you saying, I want to be in relationship with you today. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, and you say, I want to give my life to that Jesus today. Would you just raise your hand? Just wave it at me this morning. No one's looking, just you and me. Just wave it really quickly. Is there anybody here? Thank you. Anybody else? But church, as we close, I'm praying that you will grab hold of God's vision. It's not just these three things, because there's some of you who God's been working on your heart for something. That through you, something significant is going to take place. I've talked to a few of you, and you've got a dream that's so real. You've got a vision to make an impact on people's lives. Pray through the lens of God's character. And request His resources, and watch out and see what He does. If you grab hold of God's dreams, I'm telling you that you'll never live a boring day for the rest of your life. Because there is life in partnering up with the greatest business partner there is, God Himself. So, Father, as we leave this place, I pray that we would take to prayer the dreams that you have for us. I'm asking, God, that we would pray through the lens of your character. I pray that we would remove barriers of sin, things that have prevented us from getting your blessings from James chapter 1, verse 17. I pray that, God, you would help us to call out and say, use me, take responsibility. And Lord, I pray no matter how impossible it seems, no matter how close to the island we get, that we would never forget that if we request the resources we need, you can send the wind. I pray that there would be faith and expectation in this church. We're believing for great days. And I pray you would help us to live out whatever you have for us this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, everyone.